You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, again, your word, your time, your place, Spirit of God, help us, that we would have the benefits that you have in mind, that we would have that which would enable us the more to proceed forward, looking to you with all our heart. And our God, we're going to thank you for the children, the little ones. God, help us all. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Lord Jesus Christ, hours before he is crucified, and in the process, he has chapter 13 and 14, and the statement is made at the end of chapter 14 and verse 31, the verb arise, the command, let us go hence, verse 31. And therefore, up to this point, there has been excitement and concern. But now, think of everyone sitting there talking about the plan, talking about what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, I say, everyone up, we're on the move. And it's going to happen. See, down here, we can talk about it, think about it. But when I say, everyone up, we're on the move. And boy, the tension, the excitement is very high. The Christ is looking for the fulfillment of the hour to go to the cross by garden trial and crucifixion. The disciples are going to go out into the darkness, into death itself, into great danger. As far as they're concerned, it's all over. Wow, and they're going out the door. So you can just imagine the tension, the excitement, and they're standing. Now, and to remind you now, they don't. They are not going to go out downstairs, out the door, and they're going to go over to cross the brook to the garden. Now, they aren't going to talk on the way. John 15, 16, and 17 God begins the conversation, ends it with prayer, and no one interrupts. There are no questions, as in chapter 13 and 14. It's straightway. They just listen, and he's telling them something. Now, and in all the different ways people try to figure this out, people do, some do. And that he must have gone to another room. No, he didn't go to another room. They didn't do this while they were walking. He would have had to stop in John 17 and pray. They didn't do this, chapter 18:1, when they leave the room, chapter 18:1, and go to the garden. And when he goes to the garden, he's not going to pray there. The only thing anyway, you don't need all that ahead. So, it's in the room. We don't know. We don't have the details. They're standing. Could be standing and some sitting. Don't know. All we know is the conversation takes place 15, 16, 17. Awesome. And God is going to go and help them. There's no more time. They need encouragement. They need courage. They need comfort. They're going out, and he knows what he's facing, and he knows what they're facing. They do not understand it at all. Or they'd be glad, but they don't understand. Therefore, as they go out into the night, as it were. So the conversation continues. He's standing up, as it were. We assume he's standing up. And he begins, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. We share that together. Now, and he tells them now, so they, I am being who I am. Now I am being who I am. I tried to help you all the way up to this point, and you still don't understand who I am. Therefore, I'm telling you how it's going to have to work. You're going to have to look to me and trust me with all your heart, and you're going to have to realize that I am the answer. Right now, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You're looking at me, said the Lord. You don't realize I am it, God. And we just think of Sunday school, God's magnificent, huge, unlimited, unmeasured. There's nothing outside of God whatsoever. Everything's inside. And God handles the smallest detail of a little bug, of a little bird, of a falling leaf, of a hair of your head. God's magnificent being. Just think of Sunday school. Wow. Now, so God, you're going to help them. He said, I'm the answer. I am the way. You Israelites, understand, as we read in Isaiah and Psalm 80 and that, Isaiah chapter 5 and Psalm 80. Israel was the vine. God took them out, and they were to be have a wonderful relationship to God that produced much fruit. And the fruit would show the evidence of the relationship. The fruit would be the fruit of God's wonderful life. And God's wonderful life would be exposed in Israel and to the world. But they didn't do that. They didn't believe. And it didn't happen. Now, and Israel failed. Well, this time, God said, listen, I'm not going to fail. I have a wonderful plan. You had opportunity to honor it, but you didn't. And the plan still remains. And I am going to go, and I am the vine. No more Israel. I am the vine. And I want you to know, God, are you going to have anyone else service this or help them? Nope. My Father is the husbandman. God the Father is in full charge of every detail. Marvelous. Every detail. Angels? No. Others? No. Just God. God is so concerned about making it work and showing it forth. He has his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And I am going to show you. I personally, said the Father, am going to go and take the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and I'm going to go and do something wonderful because of your unique relationship to him. And in chapter 14, we read together verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way to verse 26, etc. So my Father, God, my Father's going to do it. He's in full charge. God, that's right. Right now, here we are, and you are in full charge. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. How are you going to do it? I'm going to do it by way of my Son. I want you to know, he is the true vine. He is the real, true, not false reality. He's the truth. And in John 17, as we shared, the truth I am, God, the God of truth. Truth, truth. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth. I am the life. I am the bread. I am the light. I am. God said, I am. Now, having God, that's what you're going to do. So you're going to show your wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why it's so certain. that God's going to do it because the Lord Jesus Christ pleased him. This is my son whom I am well pleased. Over to John chapter 8 for a moment. And in John chapter 8, you would recall our Lord saying it. In verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, 8:28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then, crucifixion, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Up to now, you guys don't know it. You don't understand. But you will when I'm crucified. But I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Absolutely. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He always pleased him. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God, so you're the husbandman, you're the farmer. The word husbandman is the word earth, and then the verb to work. Working the earth, cultivate, farmer, someone who works the earth. My Father is the cultivator. He's the one that takes care of the vine in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, God, so here we are looking, and it's very direct, and that's an awesome thing, and you're going to do it. You're going to do it because it's your son. Now, hang on. When I receive the Lord as my Savior, that's what makes something wonderfully possible, that God is going to do in the heart of the believing believer. God is going to do it. God the Father is going to do it in the believing believer because of his son in the believer. That's why he's going to do it. Christ in you. God is going to honor Christ in you in the fullest way. And he is going to have results. Hang on. Now, therefore, all of you, and are they now the disciple, the 11 disciples, among others, but they are there, they're there. Are they familiar with the vine? Hang on. Hold your finger here. Matthew chapter 26. They had just had the Passover in the upper room. So, very fresh in their mind. Chapter 26 of Matthew, picking up if I can, in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I'm going to drink. And you notice he doesn't say wine, communion, wine. He doesn't say wine. They didn't take wine. They took the fruit of the vine. That's the Lord's communion. They took the fruit of the vine. He made it clear. Doesn't say wine. It says fruit of the vine each time. Wow. And remember, you did all that with wine and everything, so you know they did a whole different process. Now, in the process, so they knew, I'm going to have the fruit of the vine then. Well, he just said, I am the vine. I'm going to go and be crucified. Now, picking up if I can, in thought, in the light of that, remember Isaiah chapter 5, Israel was a symbol. Israel is marked by a vine. The way to mark Israel is a vine. They were a degenerate vine. But they where they failed, God did not. The God of Israel did not fail. Now, so therefore, Therefore, the vine is very familiar. I am the vine, you are the, and I am the, my Father is the husbandman. Now, and keep in mind, if you would, when you went to the front of the holy place, here's this big golden vine. Remember there, they're walking from the room to the up to the garden, across the brook to the garden. Now, and so here, in the temple, here's this golden vine in front of the holy place. And this genuine, a gold vine with a great cluster of grapes. And in the second temple, which is Herod's second temple, in Herod's temple, they had a large golden cluster of grapes. As you enter, here's this big display of golden grapes. Grapes. God, so are they familiar? The Lord Jesus said, listen, I'm going to use something you're familiar with. I'm going to tell you about a relationship you need to have, and that has been historically Noah planted a grapevine. That's what Noah did. So, grapes, do you understand? Fruit. And they're going to be lots. We shared together last time. Think of Hebron, which is one of the chief places where grapes were. Israel grapes. And there's seven species of grapes, etc. And in the process, the grapes, the most famous place for grapes, the biggest grapes, and that clusters would be 7 or 8 pounds grapes, each cluster, 3 feet long, some of them. Grapes. Wow. Are you guys, I am the vine, he said. I am the vine. You guys know what grapes are? Yeah. Well, you see the grapes? Ah, we do. That's what I want. I want out of your life grapes. That's what I want. That's what it's all about. It isn't about grapes. Grapes, and they're good for you and all that stuff. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, so here's this great golden cluster. And keep in mind, as they grow grapes, they have to go and care for them very, very meticulously, raise the grapes, they raise them up and do all the different things, as we shared, to address, to give the best crop of grapes, etc. Now, and having therefore, when they do that, here's the branch growing, and the branches, and some are sterile and some are fertile, and in the process now, what are you going to do, God? Well, we remember now what we're talking about. We're talking about a relationship to God that is to bear fruit. We're not talking about being saved. We're not talking about judgment. We're talking about the relationship. That's what the disciples, they need to understand there's a relationship that you need to have, that you'll have by way of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, but not until then, and you need to have it, chapter 14, etc., 14. I've given you all of this information so that you could understand it's real. Real. Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. You're going to do greater things. And we shared all of those things. That's for real. It isn't a make-believe. That's what it's about. And my Father is going to make sure it happens. He isn't going to give the job to anybody else. Now, having said that, so therefore, here's the normal thing, as I understand it in the books about gardening and all these different things. And here, in Israel, grapes. And here, the grapes are growing. And you're going to grow, and you're going to go in March, and you're going to go and care for the branch. Look, all the grape branches growing, and you're going to go and prune the branches. And if a branch isn't looking good, then they go and cut it. That's in March. So the thing can keep going. Part of it took it off. And it keeps going in March, and then they're going to go in April, It still has no shoots. It's still not looking good. So in April, you cut it again. And it still isn't doing very much. So in May, you cut it again. And then you're done. If the branch won't produce anymore, no more cutting, I cut it off. I take the branch off. I trim the branch. I trim all the branches. Now, that's what I do. Now, having said that, and to get that over, you'll see it. Ezekiel chapter 15. And in Ezekiel chapter 15, picking up the thought, verse 1. I'm going to read it because it's going to tell you the process. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is this? What is the vine tree more than any tree? Or than a branch, which is among the trees of the forest? In other words, what's special about a vine, grapevine, and the branches? What's special about them? Here's the oak tree and the maple tree. What's special about the vine? Verse 3. Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Is there any part of the grapevine that you can use? No, not at all. Hang on. The wood's good for nothing. That's what you want to know. The grapevine wood is good for nothing. Other wood you can do all kinds of things with. You can make an idol out of wood. You can't do it with grapevine. The branches are no good. Watch it. Here it is. Behold, verse 4. It is cast into the fire for fuel, and the fuel devoureth both the ends of it, and the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meet for any work? No, it isn't. The only thing you can do with the grapevine branch is burn it. It's for fire. Now hang on to that. God said, listen, what am I going to do? Now, verse 5. Behold, when it was whole, it was meat fit for no work. How much less shall it be meat or fit for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? It's just a dead branch on the vine with no fruit. There's no fruit in it. What's the point? It's no good on the vine. It's no good when you cut it. So you might as well burn it. Burn it up. Now, verse 6. Therefore, saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I set my face against them. Wow, verse 8. And I will make the land desolate, because they have committed a trespass against the Lord God. What did that produce? Captivity. The Assyrian captivity 100 years earlier, and now the Babylonian captivity. Why? There's no fruit. What am I going to do with Israel? I'm going to take it. They're going to be judged and tried and tested. And then I'm going to go and I'm all done. I'm sending them to Babylon. No more. I'm all through with them. Well, that doesn't mean God's through with the plan. Not at all. But God's through with that at that point because Israel is unfit. It's like a branch in the vine that is fruitless. And it's no good in the vine. And it's no good to use. All you do is burn it. Now, with that little bit in mind, back over to John and chapter 15. And they go, and they're going to go and purge the vine, and the vine makes incisions in the vine with a pruning knife. the bleeding of the vine, it's called. And you take the pruning knife, among other things, and cut, and then you cut slits in it to drain out the sap, the infected sap and disease. And hopefully it drains out the bad stuff. Just think of when you have a thing in your body and it's inflamed, infected, or not good place, and you what do you want to do? The boil, you drain it. You want it drained, drain it. So what we're gonna prune with the bleeding of the vine. We're gonna do it. So God, you're gonna do all of this. I am. And I did it with Israel, century after century. But you know what? They never got right. So finally, I just cut it off. I just cut it. Babylon. I stopped it. Then we're going, what's the sense? Giving him another 100 years? Nowhere. There's no point. So I stop it. And that's what he did. As it were, as Israel as the leading nation. Now, having said that, so you got to understand God taking care of the vine, purging it, cutting it, giving it every opportunity to produce, if it will produce. But if it doesn't produce, what? Well, and then, God, you have to protect it. Father's watch care, God's watching over it, because there's the wild boars and the jackals and the foxes and the birds and the locusts and the caterpillars and... Boy, if you don't stay watching on top of the vine, it gets everything's after the vine. That's right. And that's why you have to take care of it. And if I don't take care of it, it's going to get clipped. If I just let it sit there, it doesn't do good. I have a grape something over there, arbor or whatever you call it. And this time we had a whole lot of branches up there. And there were grapes, and they weren't in good shape. I looked at them, and they never got in good shape. They never got in good shape at all. So we didn't do anything, and Jim with his hatchet cut them. That's what he did. I said, "There's nothing." Wow. But I didn't know. I didn't know about March, April, May, the process. I wasn't going to do that anyway. Now, keeping that in mind. So now, God, here we are looking. And in the process, you're going to go, and you're going to have to go, and you're very much concerned about it prospering and growing and everything. So now, therefore, verse 2, every branch in me. So you have to have the starting point. What's the starting point? You have to be saved. We don't talk about branches unless they're saved. They're connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you need to get saved, to receive him as your Savior. Now, in the process, so here we are, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, that isn't bearing fruit, in me, that's where it's located, in me, location. It's in me, in the bearing fruit. And he taketh every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, God, what are you looking for? Fruit. And you know, if you took and looked at Galatians chapter 5, and you may hold your finger here, we'll do it. Galatians chapter 5, I want to see it. Galatians chapter 5. And you will notice Galatians 5 and 22. As you know, the fruit, singular, of the Spirit of God, fruit, singular, is what? The Spirit of God produces what? Life, produces life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. So God, what does the Spirit of God do? He shows and brings forth the life of God. What is the Spirit of God's ministry? To bring forth fruit. Whose fruit? God's fruit. Whose life? God's life. That's what the branch shows. The branch shows the life of the vine. The vine. Christ, God, the Father, Christ, God. What are you going to do? I want to show my wonderful person who I am. Love, joy, peace, that's me, said God. And I want the branch to be evidencing by fruit. The fruit doesn't belong to the branch, doesn't belong to the leaves. The fruit evidences the life of the vine. If you just look at the vine, and just to see a vine, you don't know what it is. But when all the grapes hang there, the grapes give evidence of the life of the vine, don't they? The fruit of the Spirit of God gives evidence of the life of God. What are you looking for? I'm looking for life. I want you to have a relationship to me that produces life. And what are you going to do? I'm going to do everything I can to make sure it produces life. Why? Because the life is my son. It isn't us. It's my son in you. That's why the life. That's why, God, you're doing it. Absolutely. Absolutely. My Father, the Lord Jesus, said it. The works that I do, the words that I say, they're my Father's. I do nothing of myself. Wow. So here we are looking. And here, every branch in me that beareth not, it doesn't produce. So what are you going to do, God? Well, I'm going to do whatever it takes to produce. Produce. Why did you save us? To enjoy a wonderful relationship to who I am. Did you save us to give us a ticket to heaven? No. No. I saved you from a state of death that you were in, to a state of life, my life in you, here and now. So when I look at humans, I find myself. They all have physical life, soulish life. They don't have my life. They need my life. That's what I want to find. I want to find my life. I'm looking for my life. That's what I want to see, my life. Fruit. Fruit. God, are you going to do this? I am. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make. I'm not going to fail in this. Israel failed, but I'm not going to fail. I'm going to produce fruit. The fruit, whose fruit? The Spirit of God, even God the Father. The life of God the Father. Wow. I'm going to do that. That's right. Now, and when that branch doesn't bear, over and over again, I try. I'll give you another illustration that may help you. Sometime, God has all the different variety, exception. But usually when someone comes to know the Lord as their Savior, they spend a little time on earth, supposed to be in the world but not of it. They spend a little time on earth. And so now, make believe this person got saved 10 years ago. And for 10 years, there's nothing, no fruit. You try to do something, and they have 20 years, and no fruit. What do you mean, fruit? Life. Whose life? Yours, God's. Not our life, God's life. Nothing. 25 years. No fruit. They've been a believer 25 years and no life. I cut it off. By that I mean, you know, you have all those things. John 11, 1 Corinthians 11, some sleep. You know, they don't, relationship, communion. They sleep. They died. And this is sin, 1 John 5. This is a sin. Don't pray for that. That's for believers. Don't pray for that. That's a believer, but don't pray. That's a sin unto death. No, leave it. Leave it. Leave it. Leave it. No, they're not going to go anywhere. And God, then to add to that a thousand things, just think of the 1 Corinthians 3, and we're to be judged, the judgment seat of Christ, wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. And in the process of gold, silver, and precious stones, what happens? Well, and when the gold, silver, and precious stones, that will survive. But all the rest of it has to be burned up. Burned up. Burned up. That's right. It has to be burned up. That doesn't mean a person, you know, 1 Corinthians 3:15, doesn't mean a person isn't saved. It just means everything's burned up. You got nothing. Why? You didn't do anything. I got no fruit. No fruit. Not what big work can I do, but what can I do? What can I be? A Samson? Can I be Apostle Paul? No. God said, listen, I'm looking for fruit. I'm looking to find life in the heart of the believer. That's what I'm going to say. But I mean life. Love, joy, peace. My life. I want you to enjoy me. But. No, listen, I think in my little life I haven't done anything. Here I am, on the end somewhere, in a process. I haven't done anything. Nothing. God, it isn't about anything I did. I didn't do anything. God, it's about you. That's what it's about, isn't it? Sure it is. It's just about you. To honor you. Wow. Now, so here we are looking, and in the process of all of this, keep in mind, if you would, and he purgeth it, he prunes it with a pruning knife. Whose hand, think of the title, I titled it, hand. God's hand, and the knife's in whose hand? God's. So who's doing the pruning? God said, I didn't give it to anybody else, I do it. I do it. And I use the Spirit of God's wonderful power and ministry to accomplish what I made possible. Therefore, in the light of that, and the word prune means to clear, to tear down, to take away. It would be taking away the stone from the tomb. Take away the stone. The verb, take away. Think of the 1 John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God that, what? Taketh away, there's your verb, taketh away the sin of the world. So God, what does pruning mean? It means taking something away. I take the branch away. It's dead. What do you do with it? Not much. It's no good for nothing. I burn it. Verse 6, and if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Would you tell me what good a believer, a fruitless, carnal, fleshly believer is? They aren't good for religious purposes because they flunked out in what they did. At least we're zealous Muslims or whatever we are. We're zealous. Nothing. What do you do with them? Well, they're nothing. Like Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, to be a castaway. What do you do with it? Paul said, I don't want to be a castaway. I'm a vessel. I want to be a vessel fit for the master's use. Otherwise, I'm a vessel cracked, something's wrong with it, and you put it up on the shelf. You don't use it. That's all. You just don't use it. Think of, we're ahead of ourselves in Leviticus. Think of Miriam, she's the oldest, and then Aaron, and then Moses. She's the oldest, she's the sister of Moses. And think of Miriam. Miriam did whatever, you'll pick it up tonight, Miriam and that. And what did she do? Well, she went and said, Moses, how come you got such privileges? And your God talks to you face to face. And God said, listen, that's what I do is what I do. And Moses and Miriam and Aaron, what, and remember now, what? Miriam. We won't hear any more about Miriam until her death. God never brings up her name again till her death. She interfered and said, hold on, what have you done? Well, what person has that right? Well, God, you do what you do. Wow. So now, here we are looking, and you purge it. Now, quickly looking at some purging that you know. Go with me over, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. All kinds of ways to do this. I'm just going to do the purge. I want you to enjoy being purged, pruned. That's what I want. To get pruned, cut. It's no fun getting cut, but that's the way you have life. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 12, picking up, please, if I may. Hebrews chapter 12, and in verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now don't you say, well, boy, look what I'm going through, and I've had all these hard things for so long. And God said, before you complain, I want you to know what I did. I took your whole person, sin from start to finish, in my own body in the tree. And it cost me my relationship to God. My God, why hast thou what? Forsaken me. It cost me that. So before you start complaining, you remember what I did. And what I did for you. Now be quiet. Sliding a little further along, verse 10. For verily, for a few my days, fathers chasten us after their own lust, treasure, pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, God, if we don't get pruned, remember verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, God, what kind of treatment is that? Well, I want you to be fruitful. And I have to go and take care. The bugs, the birds, the bees, the jackals, the wild boars, they're all coming in, and the disease is there. Your old nature's there. And unless I keep at that, you aren't going to be fruitful. You're going to be carnal, fleshly. You'll be as men, having nothing. And I can do nothing with you because you won't allow me to. I give you space and time to fix things, but you don't, and you keep on going. And your life's the same. Nothing's changed. Wow. God said, listen, a chastening has to happen. Chastening has to happen for sure. Oh, you're right in here. The nearest one is over to James. James chapter 1. My brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various divers temptations, testings, trials, etc. Knowing when all these things happen, that the trying, putting to the proof of your faith, the faith, the body of truth you're believing, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, bearing up under the load, and patience hanging in there, you just keep going because there's a good shot, you can get some fruit. So keep staying attached to the vine, abide, so you can get some fruit. And I give you an opportunity to be abiding to have some fruit. Therefore, verse 4, but the patience have perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. What is the branch? The branches are on the trees. They don't care about the snow. They don't care about the leaves all being gone. They're going to enjoy the winter. That's what they're going to do. They're going to live off the tree. The tree lives off the ground. And as long as the branch stays connected in a good way, the branch is just going to survive. The hard things, the easy things, it won't make any difference. The branch is just going to be there. And when the seasons are right, the leaves and the fruit are going to be there. Wow. So God, therefore, want nothing. You want nothing. Wow. No, won't need anything. Nope, not at all. And you remember, you know, and in the without turning there in Romans and that, that the trying of your faith, etc., worketh. You're exercised, you're tried, you're tested, you're proven, and you do all of those things. And the bottom line, Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Now, where did you learn that? Going through all the stuff. Did God, you love me. So you want to get something. I do. I want fruit. Why? Because of my son in you. And if you don't mind, I'm going to get it. And if I don't get it here, I'm going to show it up there. And you're going to be saved as by fire. You may not have what you could have had, but I'm going to show that of all that my son died for and that have believed in me, I will lose not one of them. Not one of them. They're all going to show my grace. Some will show grace awesomely, and some will not. But they're all going to show grace. Wow. Now, God, so here we are looking, and in closing, over, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry it wandered a bit, but I hope you got a little bit. God, help us. We're going to purge it. You have to be related to get purged, you know. You know, I had, if you have children, you do. Children, take your little children. And you know, when I was raising them over here, and next door here, and all of that, all that stuff. And doing that, you know, now and then we had to go and use the Board of Education, to use the Board of Education on the bottom for education. And we had to do that. And we did do that. They used to sell them in the bookstore. They used to sell them in the book. The Board of Ed, remember the, some of you probably still have them? That's before you got arrested. Big board, nice big fat board, picture on it, everything. Wow. Yeah. Well, God, here we are looking. And God, we're looking to you. And in the process, God, we're being educated. That's right. I want to educate you to your what? Your unique relationship. I'm looking for your relationship to be outworked. For what? I want to see myself in your life. I want to find myself in your heart. I want to find the life of the vine in the branch. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want the life, you will not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. I want to find that life. I'm looking for everlasting life. Mine. Don't mind. Am I wrong looking? He said. Is it wrong for me to look for my life? In those that believe? No, that isn't wrong. Not at all. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you know. God, you do all of these things. I do. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all, comfort, encouragement, etc., for courage and everything else, for confidence, who comfort us all in our tribulation, testing, squeezing, that we may be able to comfort others, comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God, as you deal with us and purge us and cut us and help us, that's how we grow. That's how we grow and in the process. And back, I started to say to the children with the that kind of thing, in the process, I had those children. But you know, the Board of Education was only in my house. I couldn't go down the street to some house and decide that their boy needs spanking. I couldn't do that. I only can do that with that which is mine. God said, you're bastards if I don't do anything. You're illegitimate children, Hebrews 12. You don't belong to me. If you belong to me, I'm going to do something. Oh, I can live my life. It doesn't bother me for all these years. Something's wrong. I don't know. Something's wrong somewhere. And we're so used to it, we just think it's normal. This is the normal Christian life. Not here. It's way down here. The normal Christian life is sort of be a bump on the log and just sort of plow along and yay for you, we're all Christians, as opposed to Muslims and something else. That's our new level. Wow. Anyway, time's gone. God has to put us through the mill. So if you don't mind, God said, listen, I want you to know I am the true vine. And I want you to know my Father is going to do a wonderful thing because of me. And he's going to make your relationship to me produce. And if you don't produce, I'm going to put you aside. That doesn't mean you won't live. You could live, eat your pizza, and do everything. But where is God? What happened to God? Wow. Our Father in God, we look to you with thanksgiving, and as we fumble through this, God, it's so wonderful, and God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you very much, God. Deal with us, for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, very possible. We have an intellectual relationship, but not a personal, vital relationship. God, he that hath a son, you said, we received you, God. Father, thank you very much. So we look to you. We said, you said, Lord, to say it. Pray in my name to the Father. So we're looking, Father, for you to do, because of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, to do whatever we ask or think, that is, your good will, your good word, your good work, outworked in school, at home, and every other aspect of our life. God, wonder of wonders, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.